This time we examine the formation of atoms and the implications for breath and what it means to take in the very breath of God Himself. Hi, I'm Tim, and this is TBV for 14th of April, the year of our Lord, 2024. Stellar substance. Looking at the wonders of creation, we get to see the formation of our very essential materials by looking at stars. How can this be? How can it be that we are stardust, that we are formed out of the very elements that stars put together under the great pressure of gravity when massive balls of gas ignite in a process called fusion? This is the wonder of creation, that by looking back in time, not with a time machine, but by looking at the light that has taken so long to reach us from far away stars and galaxies, our scientists, our researchers, can see the signature of the creation of the very materials of the world we enjoy. It turns out that the most basic things that we call atoms are made of a material called hydrogen. This is a gas that famously burned in the Zeppelin, a gas that is so light that it escapes from almost any container that we can make from it. It's a gas that is just simply one element that is heavy and one component that is light. The heavy one is called a proton, and the light one is called an electron. And these are bound together in the way that we experience them, and they are a balanced pair. This pair of atomic particles, this proton and this electron, form the basic gas that is the first element in the universe. It's the starting point. And as these elements are crushed together in stars, particularly in big stars, they can form heavier and heavier elements. As protons are stuck together, overcoming the repulsive forces, they become locked into an atomic nucleus and then collect more and more electrons to keep things in balance. There's not too much positive and not too much negative. That things are balanced in the very heart of the materials that we call atoms. Atoms comes from an ancient Greek word, an ancient Greek idea for the smallest element. Now, we've taken this to be atoms, and hydrogen is the smallest of the atoms, but it's not the smallest thing, but that is outside of our remit in the scale of creation. And actually, these atoms are so small that they are right down the bottom. In terms of our DNA alley, these atomic hydrogen atoms are the smallest of those components that make up the DNA roller coaster that spirals away from us. This is one of the essences of life, but it is not enough. It needs to be combined. It needs to be bonded, chemically bonded to other atoms, for us to have the code of life and the constituents of our cellular existence. This atom needs to be fused, to be squished and squashed under almost unimaginable pressure and temperature in the heart of stars. The stars that are big burn faster. The greater pressure accelerates the process of combining and giving out of energy. And from them and their explosions come the great glories of planets and the interstellar material that we can pick up through telescopes that can measure the kind of light that comes from different materials. And so by looking through the lens of the heavens, the stars, we get to see knowledge revealed, as the scriptures said we would and have done, that they proclaim knowledge, that they reveal the glory of the Creator, that the stars themselves were the furnaces in which the substance of life was formed, the very essence of existence was built up and put together. This table of elements, this collection of creation's building blocks, are the very things that make all that we see possible. They're not everything. The things that we see by are called photons, and they're smaller and different. But basically stuff that we touch, the stuff that we smell, the stuff that we see by the gift of light, is made of atoms. It's made of protons and electrons. And once we get past the smallest, there needs to be something else as well. The positive protons would push themselves apart if there wasn't something to pad things out, to dampen down that repulsion, like two ends of a positive magnet, electromagnet coming together, or the north poles of a metal magnet. You know how they repel each other? Well, in the same way, the protons in the heart of an atom would push each other apart, would break apart, if there wasn't something to dampen things down. And these are heavy elements of the nucleus called neutrons. So we have neutrons and protons in the heart of an atom, with the protons balanced by orbiting electrons, electron clouds. They don't seem to hang around in one place, but are diffuse. And this charge neutral material is the stuff of everything that we can touch and taste, everything that we can see and move and rest on. This is the stuff that stars put together in their heart. And as they form and stars burn out and the stars blast out the material that they've made, we end up, after rather a large amount of time, with planets that have formed, like our Earth, made mostly of the most stable of those atoms. It's a material we call iron. That's the stuff of anvils and early manufacturing. The iron is also known as ferrous material, and chemically it is known as Fe, as an abbreviation for the ferrous nature. It is stable in the atomic realm, but when it becomes in contact with oxygen, it becomes ferrous oxide. It binds so strongly to the oxygen in our air that almost any iron will rust, that it becomes reddish and brown, and it becomes a rusty oxide combined with the oxygen and becoming a part of the very experience of this world, that where you see iron exposed on the ground or as part of a metal that has been made, it starts to rust. When it's combined with other materials, it can become stable and resist rusting. But this process is so strong that it just pushes and pushes towards a rusty existence. And this is key for the very way we enjoy the air we breathe. The iron in our blood is what makes oxyhemoglobin red. It is the combination with oxygen that makes bright red blood. These red blood cells, filled with so many molecules holding in beautiful tension these iron atoms to give us a carrier for oxygen to get this energy releasing chemical right to where we want it in our cells to make things, to release the strength that we need to move, to do all the things that break down our food and give us the materials we need for life. This stable element, this pinnacle of the atomic creation that has this great stability, is yet chemically incredibly vulnerable to the attraction of oxygen. And so we have this tension held in careful union, where the oxygen is brought to these iron attractors in your red blood cells, but kept from locking in that union. It's brought near and drawn from your lungs by this attractional power that iron has, and at the very same time, the oxyhemoglobin is like this intricate molecular cage that keeps them from coming fused in chemically bonded ways. Not fusion as in atomic fusion, but a union that would make the red rust that we know. So they're held close. We still get that red effect of iron and oxygen together with the redness of our blood that is oxygenated. And it is an incredibly balanced system that takes the air we breathe, that extracts the oxygen, which is only a modest percentage of the air that we live in, and it transports it in the time it takes the blood to rush from your heart to your lungs and then out from the heart again to the every area that your body needs it. It's less than a minute in its round trip that this collection of oxygen comes and grabs this life giving gas that we are dependent on for every aspect of our being. We can't last for minutes without it, unless we've been specially trained and learned how to store it up. But most of us can't go more than a few minutes without fresh oxygen coming into our lungs. And here we are with this stable atom of iron being used as the key component of the transport system, the oxyhemoglobin that is in each of our red blood cells, filling our red blood cells, and transporting around this vast creation that is you. Compared to the small things, you are so big compared to the ants, so big again compared to the cells, like this red blood cell that'll be the size of a small city flat once you've shrunk down these two steps in our scale of creation. And then small even compared to the DNA alley, this swerving and twisting and spiraling roller coaster track that lays out before us the code of life, in its intricate and glorious complexity. And here we have the wonders that have been put together for us, that have been crafted for us to come into existence. The very atoms formed in stars, the very metals like iron that make up the surface and core of our planet, and the systems that fit together so beautifully to enable us, moment by moment, to breathe in and breathe out, to take in the oxygen and have life within us. This is the picture that we have of God putting life into us. From the very earliest chapters of the Hebrew Bible, we have this account of God breathing into Adam, the first man, of putting life into him. That he activates this system, that he energizes and instigates this life-giving power that allows us to move and to interact and to think. Our brains are one of the biggest consumers of this oxygen, the power that is needed for us to think and to imagine and to conceive and to do the work that Adam was given right from the beginning of naming the creatures that he could see. The creatures that God had created were brought to him to be named. This very first and most fundamental aspect of the scientific endeavor, to start naming and categorizing and recognizing the kinds that God has designed and the difference that there is within those kinds. This is the glory of creation. And it is the glory that Jesus points us to when we are worried and weighed down, that he invites us to look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, the lilies of the valley, to look at the beauty of the plants and these winged creatures that have such a freedom to get on with living, that such a uninhibited way of going about life. They spring up from the ground and they fly through the sky, unburdened by the things that trouble us and weigh down our heart. Made of the same materials, in the plant's case, of course, giving out oxygen and being made, being built out of the very atoms that they take in. Trees are carbon capture. The wood is made of the air. It's an amazing inspiration, a taking in of what makes life possible and makes the building blocks of existence. That we are like that, that as we breathe in God, we get to build a new life, a life in the spirit, in the breath, the ruach of God. That we get to have a spirit that is everlasting and eternal, given by the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, all so that he could pour out his spirit, his breath, on all people. I'm Tim. This is TBV. Until next time.